Upbeat music is playing. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a brand new episode of Diesel and Clooney Unpack the World. Audience applauses. Join your charismatic hosts, Christopher O'Shaughnessy and Jerry Jones, as they take you on a roller coaster ride through the fascinating world of global issues. Exciting music. Hey there, cultural adventurers. It's Chris, your friendly neighborhood adult TCK, ready to explore the depths of cross-cultural life with you.
And this is Jerry, the China-raised TCK extraordinaire, bringing you firsthand experiences and unique insights into the diverse tapestry of our global village.
Today's episode is a mind-blowing adventure into the future. We're strapping on our thinking caps and diving deep into the impact of artificial intelligence on cross-cultural living and life abroad. Sci-fi sound effects.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Oh, I'll do those.
Buckle up. Oh, sorry, yeah.
Beep, beep, boop, beep.
Buckle up, folks, because we're about to unravel the mysteries of AI and its influence on how we connect, communicate, and create bridges across cultures. It's going to be a wild ride.
So grab your passports, activate your AI translators, and get ready to explore uncharted territories of cultural exchange.
Get ready for laughs, insights, and a few unexpected surprises along the way. This is Diesel and Clooney Unpack the World.
Get your headphones on, folks, because the adventure starts right now. Energetic music. Music fades out. Diesel and Clooney Unpack the World podcast, where the global issues meet laughter, knowledge, and a whole lot more. Podcast theme music fades in.
Oh, I forget the podcast theme song.
I know, we'll add that in later.
Okay. Yep.
We got it. Jerry, I have to tell you, that was probably the most natural introduction I think we've ever done. So natural. There was nothing.
It just came to us.
Nothing remotely artificial about it. But speaking of artificial, Jerry, you know what's been in the news lately for being artificial? Not sweeteners. Even though I could talk for a while about artificial sweeteners, but no, it's not sweeteners. It's artificial intelligence, Jerry. Have you heard?
Let's okay, let's come clean. Let's come clean. Dear listeners, today's intro was actually created by artificial intelligence. What do you think about that? We asked ChatGPT to write us a script. And in no less than half a second, it wrote us the script that you just heard, gave us speaking parts and music, like added music for us. Well, I wish it had added music, sound effects, when to put the sound effects in, even got a little bit wrong. I was not China raised, but I had to go with the script.
Got to go with the script. We do what AI tells us. What could possibly go wrong?
And there's the basis. That's what we're unpacking today.
What could possibly go wrong with AI? Well, Jerry, after my smooth segue into artificial things, I may just get ChatGPT to write all of my segues from now on.
Why wouldn't you?
One of the things I have to tell you that is my favorite thing about ChatGPT is for French speakers out there, the sounds ChatGPT sounds in French like you're saying "cat, I farted," and I just think that that's great. That basically a cat fart machine is now controlling the world. ChatGPT is basically French for "cat, I farted." So there's that. There's that. In fact, if we don't get anything else out from the episode, I just want everyone to know that ChatGPT
I now have a new name for, like, I'll just do that translation.
It's important. So our intro aside, and you know, it was masterful. It is everyone's talking about AI. I mean, it's all the rage. It's been, I have to tell you, one of the best comments, I don't know if we've shared this on a previous episode, but one of my favorite comments, because obviously there's huge implications in so many industries, but one industry I'm connected to quite a bit is education. Mm-hmm. And I did hear the best comment about ChatGPT from a teacher. And it's when the realization that, you know, kids, this, it opened up a whole new a whole new world of potential plagiarism, because you can obviously just have ChatGPT write your papers for you, and you can give it parameters. You can tell it, you know, how long. You can tell it, you know, no words over four syllables. You can tell it make it sound anything like a high school freshman. Anything you want. Mm-hmm. So there is obviously,
and in half a second, everything. Yeah,
half a second. So obviously, quite a bit of fear about, oh, how are we going to catch this? But the best response I heard from a teacher was actually a sigh of relief, and they said, "Oh, do you know how great this is? This means that it's no longer going to be an accurate way of testing people's comprehension to have them write papers, which is great because they take so long to read." They said, "Now we could just go back to Scantrons, because ChatGPT, it can't help you with a Scantron in real time if we test them, you know, right there." And they were just thrilled because Scantrons take way less time to grade than whole papers. Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's some bright sides is the theme to this. Do you remember Scantrons, Jerry? I love the word Scantron.
Vaguely, like I don't know if I'm thinking of the exact same thing as what is great.
Scantron, and maybe I may be using a brand name, which, you know, this episode is sponsored by Scantron, which doesn't that just sounds like a robot? I know Scantron should sponsor us because we're telling people they're coming back. It was those forms that we'd fill them out in school, and you bubble in your answers.
Yeah.
It's just a big old form, and then you just shove that form in a scanner, and the scanner goes, "It got this many right and this many wrong." Yep. Yeah. So Scantron, Diesel and Clooney is brought to you by Scantron.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder. Like I had this conversation about, like, AI stands to actually dramatically change paradigms and the way, because like the first thought is when we apply AI to how we do things now. So for example, writing term papers, right? Mm-hmm. I can go in and say, "Hey, ChatGPT, write me a term paper on why Diesel and Clooney is the best podcast in the history of the world."
Ooh, right? I'd read that paper.
I'll do it before this episode is over.
Yes.
Let me take a side note here in just a minute, but let me finish my thought. So like term papers, how we do term papers, but it's like the first wave of response to that is, how do we maintain what we've been doing for so long? How do we protect, how do we keep kids from cheating? How do we make sure that they do their own work, but we're looking at a future where all of the reasons for developing those skills may not exist, right? Like in the future, like it would be like, it's kind of like in the past we've had classes, we've had ways of doing things that we've tried to educate kids on, but those things have gone by the way. Like when I was growing up, there was home economics, right? Home economics, and even a generation before me, home economics was strategically and specifically designed exclusively for women because that was going to be their job. So it's going to teach you those things, those skills that you need to know, cooking and cleaning and how to be a good housewife, right? Mm. Well, that construct, that paradigm has shifted in the culture. And so the education has shifted around it. And I wonder what's going to change in the future? Like, does it even matter how we do papers and how, like, I'm not saying teach kids to cheat, but but I think there's going to be an actual internal down, like ground level shift in how we view what we're trying to accomplish, because AI is such a part of our future. Right.
Yeah.
Like, why do we need to, we don't have another example. Sorry. We don't have typing class anymore. Right.
Right.
Because kids know how to type by the time they're 12 years old. They just, my kids have both learned how to type, and they type better than I do. But when I was growing up, there was an actual typing class. Here's how you hit the letters and which finger goes where. And, you know, like, culture changes over time, and so education changes. I think AI is going to have a huge impact on that.
Yeah. Well, and we have seen it before. I mean, like you said, typing classes went away. Calculators, I think, are a great example too. I think, you know, I can remember in high school, I think it switched while I was in high school. I think maybe my freshman year, you know, you couldn't use a calculator because that was cheating, and you just had to, you know, whatever. And I think honestly, by the time I graduated, so within 4 years, they had finally switched that and said, okay, you can use a calculator, because actually what we're teaching you is how, you know, you need to know what you're doing with a calculator. A calculator just saves time, but you still have to control it. And so that switch happened, you know, that change in mindset from, oh, calculator's cheating to, oh, calculator's a tool. You still have to know what you're doing to really use it. Right. And it could well be like maybe AI and ChatGPT is, I'm only going to say it in a French accent now. That's the only way I'm saying it.
That's I'm going to call it cat fart from now on.
That, you know, maybe the cat fart machine is just going to be, we're going to adapt to that. Like we did with calculators.
Which side note, I just asked ChatGPT, did you know that ChatGPT in French sounds like the cat farted? And the cat fart's response was, as an AI language model, I don't have personal experiences or knowledge of how my name might. I feel a little defensive. Like there's a little edge to this of how my name might sound in different languages. However, I understand that machine translations or interpretations of words can sometimes result in unintended meanings or humor. If ChatGPT in French sounds similar to the cat farted, it may be a coincidental and amusing observation. Like, wow, ChatGPT.
Oh, I did.
I think you're a little defensive.
You touched a nerve. You touched a nerve, Jerry.
Well, now I'm scared for my life because I have now offended artificial intelligence and it's coming after me, which I say that in jest, but that's the big worry, right? Like that's the big fear of the world. Is that AI is going to take over the world. Thoughts on that, Chris O'Shaughnessy?
Well, you mentioned my name. You wanted to come after me too? Come on, Jerry. Come on.
Exactly.
I guess we're going down together. We're going down together.
Of 3263. I don't know your address, but ChatGPT does.
ChatGPT does, which is impressive because who knows where I am at any given time. What it reminded me of was this fantastic a meme, because you know I trust memes implicitly. That's where I get all my useful information these days. But it was some guy who basically said how his grandmother was always very polite with the Alexas and things. That he said, you know, I got my grandmother an Alexa, and he said, you know, she's very polite. And he said he came over one day and she was apologizing to it. You know, she said, Alexa, I'm really sorry that I was cross with you yesterday. You know, I was just in a bad mood. And he said, you know, he said, Mom, you don't have to, it's not a person, you don't have to apologize to it. You can say whatever you want to it. And his mom was like, no, you should be polite. I mean, she goes, computers run everything now. You should be on the good side. Nice. And the son said, my mom might actually be onto something, that maybe, you know, us just barking out commands, maybe, you know, she's going to be one of them who's spared when they take over. Alexa's going to be like, you apologize to me, so you can stay.
There's such a cross-cultural element to this, right?
Like, yes.
Because, like, one of the principles of living and working cross-culturally, like, is that you always think about what it is that you're trying to communicate, right? Like, what the idea is, what the principle is, so I want to communicate respect, for example, right? But then you have to think about the how. How respect is understood, how respect is received, the example I love is being in China. One of my friends, a teacher, he was a teacher from the U.S. and came to teach in China. Had a Korean student who was acting up in class. He sent him out in the hallway, went to talk to him, and said, "Hey, listen, you cannot act like that in my class." And the kid just looked straight at the ground, and he got so frustrated. And he said, you look at me in the eyes when I talk to you, right? So what was he trying to communicate? You need to respect me. You need to show respect. I'm the teacher. But from a Korean perspective, this kid had been told from the time he was born, you don't ever look authority in the eyeballs. Why? Because it's disrespectful. So they were trying to arrive at the same point, but they had two very, even completely opposite understandings of what it is. And now we've got this like, I don't think it's wrong. Maybe we need to be nice to AI, but what does AI think is nice, right? Like, what do computers perceive and how do they sense respect? What are your thoughts, Christopher O'Shaughnessy?
There we go again. Just dragging me on in. No, I think it brings up such an interesting point because really, we're all limited by, or at least, we base our structured experiences on our own culture, and that's the crux of so much of what we get to do is is how cultures interplay with each other. You know, the whole idea of third culture kids, that imagery of mm-hmm. having multiple rooms, multiple cultures that you're connected to and things like that. I think we're going to see, we're going to have to deal with the fact that culture even has implications on AI, because what it decides is polite or direct or what have you, it's going based on the parameters it's been fed. So whoever creates the AI is doing so based off of their own culture. So, for example, I know just writing styles, and here's where I think AI is different than, you know, the calculator example where we just started to allow calculators. I think the difference with AI is it at its heart, it's a language model. Mm-hmm. And language is very, very cultural. Even just the same language. I remember I've been to both British and American school systems, and I remember spelling wasn't actually as hard to change as the tone was. So I remember in American academics, they want you to write with an active voice. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be active and punchy and, you know, America. Whereas in British academics, it's far more polite to be passive, basically. And I remember getting in trouble in British school if I wrote in too American a style because it seemed way too forward and presumptuous. Wow. And I remember being reprimanded in American school for writing in a British style because they said, this is so passive. Don't say, well, one should just say, I think. And so it was. So even that, it's the same language, but the tone is received very, very differently. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to inherit, some bias from AI because it's a language model. So whoever programmed it, that's what it's going to project further. And so what does that do?
Go ahead.
What does that do as far as when we interact cross-culturally? If AI becomes very ubiquitous, I'm sure there's many more, but I can see two outcomes. Are we going to have, you know, different settings? Are we going to have, will there be a British ChatGPT and then an American one? I don't know. I haven't tested it. Can you ask it to write
theoretically
in different styles?
And we're going to ask it in just a second. But theoretically, as I understand it, right? Like, yes, ChatGPT is a created mechanism. Yes, AI in general, it has to have a creator, right? Like, there has to be someone who is the mind behind this. But what makes it different than all of the other creations is that it has the capability of learning and growing and changing, and it also has the capability of accessing basically all of the information, everything that's out there. And so could that be as simple as, hey, could you switch to a British way of thinking? Like, help me. Then it has access to all of the stuff that you've talked about. And then it just absolutely infused. Let's test it. Let's think of something. Let's say something. You tell me something in a very direct American style. And I'll ask it to translate that into a more of a British passive style.
Ooh, good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Something very direct and American. Let's see, that would come out very, very differently in British. I feel like even just the directness of telling someone you're too loud, would you mind being a bit more quiet? Which, you know, I mean, some Brits would probably say it's just for me, whew, sounds terrifying to be that direct.
I'm going to make it even a little bit more American.
I know. I put some qualms in there. I put a bit too loud. I realize I can't even.
Your culture came out. You're too loud. Would you mind? You're too loud. Please take it down a notch.
Oh, yep. See, that's, I couldn't.
And then I'm going to say, please adjust this to a more
British tone. that sounds good. I'm so excited.
All right. I'm going to hit enter. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And I'll tell you when it starts answering. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Enter now. Answer now.
Wow.
Could you kindly lower your volume a bit? It seems a tad too loud. Oh, I feel like I should have sent this to you so you could read it in a British accent.
No, it seems a tad too loud.
And I would greatly appreciate it if you could, bring it down a notch.
Oh, see?
There's a little, I feel like there's a little passive aggressive still in there.
It did.
Is that British?
You told it passive, so I think it went. I think it did. I think it assumed passive aggressive rather than passive yep. voice. But think about the implications of this. Perhaps, you know, I still marvel at things like Google Translate, where, you know, when I'm in places where I don't know the language at all. I wonder, you know, is AI, you know, like you said, if we can tell it, if it gathers all the information and adapts and learns in the way that the machines learn, which, you know, big yep. debates. And I'm sure both of our listeners can give us their opinions on this, because, you know, you wade into dangerous territory when you talk about does AI really learn and things like that. But but even so, if it can take all this information, is it going to be the ultimate cultural translator? You know, is this going to be how we can use Google Translate or other brand translates for linguistic purposes? You know, is this going to be the ultimate, you know, will AI be capable of saying, hey, you know, I'm German and I have a business meeting with some Venezuelans. Here's the points that I need to get across in this meeting. How can I say that in a way that will make sense in their culture? Yeah. You know, is AI going to be theoretically, a cultural translator?
Right. Theoretically, ChatGPT has access to all of the cultural sensitivity models on the internet, everything that's ever been created and has been put into the webosphere, right? And can tap into that and adjust accordingly. I think, like, this takes me back to, maybe it's just because this is happening in real life. This is the story that we've played with forever. Like, it's the story that is, it's the common thread through all of the great stories. It's like, there's something amazing. It's the Super Friends, right? Which I grew up with. There was always an amazing creation. But if this gets into the wrong hands, right? Ooh. If this gets into the wrong hands, this is going to change the world. It's so good. It's amazing. I'm using ChatGPT all the time just to help spark my thinking and get things rolling. It's great. I love it. It's like Google on steroids. But
gosh, I need to use it more.
Constant thought of, what if this gets into the wrong hands? And I saw somebody did a YouTube video where they were testing it out and they ask it to be evil, basically. Oh. And ChatGPT like obviously has these restrictions and says, no, of course I can't be evil. I'm not going to be evil. And he said, okay, you're going to pretend to be evil. Give me your answers as if you were pretending. And then it was scary, because it was like this alter ego of Chet, and I don't know how real that was, or like that's on YouTube, but the thought is, like, just behind this, the only thing protecting us right now are the safeguards that people have put in this version of it,
right?
But I'm blown away by how many evil people there are in the world who are just like, their whole job, all of those emails that you get begging or trying to trick you into, or trick old people into giving their money, right? There are people who sit in their apartment all day long at their computers, and that's their whole, viruses that are sent and destroy people's lives, identity theft, right? There are people all over the world, and that's their job. That's how they make money. That's what they're doing. And it is evil. Like, it's wrong. And if they're taking AI to the same level, how's that going to impact how the world works?
Oh, it's so true. Yeah, that's. I haven't actually seen Super Friends. It sounds exciting, and I want to look it up now.
You're so young. You're such a baby.
It may not be the young. It may be just different countries. Maybe Super Friends was just not. Maybe it didn't make it to the UK.
It's all of that. But you and I are watching Super Friends.
All right, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
And we're gonna learn from it, because you're right. We've put this super powerful thing, and it's going to be abused. And I wonder, you know, is it going to be one of those things where, I remember for a while, for example, I know in the US, I don't think I saw them elsewhere, but they had radar detectors that you could put in your car. Mm-hmm. And so it would give you a warning if someone was using a radar to check your speed.
Yes.
And if you dig further into that story, the company who makes the radar guns actually also a lot of times makes the radar detectors. And then they go and create new radar guns that outsmart the detectors. And then they create new detectors that can detect even the radar guns. And so, you know, it's kind of, and I wonder, are we going to find that? Are the people who produce AI
constant
Yeah, is there going to be a constant?
Yeah,
we've created something, so we'll create something to mitigate some of the risk, and then someone will outthink that and say, "Ah, but now I've made a new ChatGPT that can be, you know, truly evil." So then someone will create a fix and say, "Oh, this contains the evil," and you know, is it? Yeah, and they say, you know, that's a very cynical way to look at it, but the business is creating a need and then selling the solution. And so, you know, I wonder how much of that is going to creep into this model. I also can't help but wonder, you know, how much of this sometimes we think things are going to be huge and revolutionary and change everything. And maybe they do, but the excitement fizzles out and it just becomes mundane pretty quickly. And that's I can't help but wonder, you know, will this go that way too? Will this, I think of like phone technology. I think about how if you went, I mean, even 30 years ago and said in 30 years, phone technology will reach the point where if you call a company, a person won't answer the phone. A robot that sounds like a person will. And that robot is going to be so smart that you can talk to it and tell it what you need. And it will then either give you the information you asked for or finally plug you through to someone you need. Now that sounds amazing. However, I think, Jerry, you can tell me if you're in this with me as well, and our listeners, both of them can answer as well. Send emails to give us your opinion. But for me, even though that technology is amazing, I can't stand it. I just, as soon as I hear a robotic voice, I immediately press zero because hopefully that'll bypass it. I just right away start saying, agent, representative. We have this amazing technology.
Oh, it's maddening.
I don't want it. Yep. Just give me a person.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand that. Let's try something else. I hate it. I hate it. Yeah. You know, and I was reading something about, just about global trends for companies, what companies need to be thinking about in general, but AI came up in that. And one of the statements that they made, and I have a disclaimer for this as soon as I'm finished, but one of the statements that they made was that companies that are excelling with AI are using AI to improve the human experience, right? Mm. Like right now, AI should be used to make a person's work experience better, to make their work-life balance better, to make their life better, right?
Yeah.
And if you're doing it, then that's the way to use it right now. Like that's a good thing, and that's how successful companies are responding to AI. And then there's just that looming question in the back of my head is how long does that last, right? Like what's the evolution of that? Whereas it's a little less about the human experience and more about what AI can accomplish. And then, you know, like you mentioned, 30 years ago, we couldn't even think of this. Now we're here and it's so much a part of our lives and we hate it.
Right.
But 30 years from now, and AI absolutely is moving at a breakneck pace, right? Like so fast, things are changing. Like ChatGPT is kind of lowest on the ladder. It's the entry level, user friendly, everybody can use it, but there's so many more applications out there that we don't even have access to. You know, when does it not become about human experience and quality of life?
Ooh, well, and taking that thought further, I did see, you know, there's all these posts now online about how you can use ChatGPT to, you know, make money, make your life easier, you know, side hustles and all that kind of good stuff. And one of them was talking about how you can use it to manage social media, how they were like, you know, if you need a social media presence, just have AI do it, and AI can put out content for you. Ironically, I also saw not in the same segment, but on a different website, I saw the flip side of that about like, you know, are you stressed having to keep up with your responses to, you know, how do you stay in touch with everyone? Well, look, AI can do that for you now. And I thought the irony here is that eventually, if we outsource both sides, we're basically having AI create content that AI will answer, and we've just removed ourselves from the equation altogether, which is almost like that whole phone menu thing that, you know, when Facebook and social media launched, we were just so excited to get our experiences out there and share and interact. And perhaps we're coming to the end of that life cycle trend where now it feels obligatory. So we're like, oh my gosh, I can't create content. AI, create content for me. And then other people are thinking, I can't respond to everyone's content. AI, respond to their content. And eventually it's just AI talking to itself, and we've removed ourselves from it entirely. So maybe that, you know, is that going to have an impact on what we prioritize? You know, is that going to have an impact on maybe this whole idea of, and I think we're already beginning to see this to some degree, this expands into, you know, discussions about social media, but you know, are we as excited as we were about trying to share everything? And will the backlash against that be, I don't want to share any more than I absolutely have to. So I think it is, AI becomes fascinating when you look at how it's going to influence our priorities and trends. I do. I think the idea in my head, it's hugely comical to think that, you know, AI is being used to create content and then respond to its own content. And, you know, we're creating self-licking ice cream cones.
and in all of that, like, there's this question of accountability, right? And right now we're in a phase where everything, if you look back and follow that trail backwards leading up to here we are now, that was all human led. And so humans are responsible for everything. And now we're starting to turn responsibility over to computers to put out our social media posts. So I was reading about, I can't remember the details on it, but it was a big company put out a social media tweet, and it noted a special day, but put out a very, very anti-Semitic, racist comment and the company. So then it's like, then their follow-up for that is, we are so sorry. And it wasn't directly. It was just like they missed it and it was bad, right?
Oh, dear.
Their response is, we are so sorry. That was generated by AI. But who's held responsible for that, right? Like, who's held responsible in social media, in the press, in absolutely the humans in the company? They still have to, and nobody's like, oh, it was your computer. Okay. Well, no, it's like, okay, even your computer is racist, right? Like, and so it's like we're in this phase right now where responsibility still lies with the humans, right? Yeah. Even if we're trusting AI to do our speaking for us. And AI is programmed to do it right and still makes mistakes. Like saying, this is what I put in for the intro. I said, hey, Chris is an adult TCK. Jerry spent time in China and raised his kids as TCKs in China. And its response was, Jerry, the China raised TCK extraordinaire. Yeah. Right. So it's capable of misunderstanding. And maybe that's on my part, right? Maybe I should have said it differently or more clearly, but still mistakes can be made even by this infallible computer presence.
Yeah. Wow. That brings up another point there is how I wonder about how it'll affect our language, because language is phenomenally utilitarian. You know, we create new words and phrases fall out of fashion if they're unused or refer to things that aren't around anymore. So if to use AI well requires that you phrase things in the kind of way that AI will know what you mean. So, yes, you know, like you said, what you put in for our intro, I would understand, but obviously it misunderstood. So
it missed that one thing. Yeah.
So I wonder, if it becomes prevalent enough, is our style of speech going to change? Are we going to change our grammar and the way we tell stories and everything? Are we going to be affected because we're going to basically change our language to fit AI, which obviously works both ways. You know, the whole point of ChatGPT is that it's a language model that can respond to natural language. So it's trying to respond its best to us.
Right.
But ironically, what I could see is the unintended consequence is it could well change how we do language, that perhaps, for instance, I'm terrible at being concise. Terrible. As anyone who listens to this will have noted, I take a long time to get my points across. I tell stories. And that's my communication style. So I have to work really hard at being concise and brief. But I do wonder, you know, will we begin to change our model to fit AI, even though ironically, the point of AI is a model trying to fit us. You know, I think that could be one of those unintended consequences that, you know, and think about the culture of that. You know, we go back to what's direct and what's not. You know, is AI far-reaching enough that it's going to have an impact on different cultures? Is it going to make all of us far more direct because that's what we need to interface with it? You know, you look at things that have become universal, you know, the English language, you know, is for better, for worse. And you can make arguments, you make a lot of arguments for worse because English is very confusing. But it has become, you know, the default link language of the world. You know, I have colleagues in Europe who talk about how they're like, yeah, English is not the native language for anyone in this meeting, but all of us speak it as a second language. Right, so we're all at an equal disadvantage. It's, mm-hmm. it is the, and so, you know, is the language of AI going to be a new bridge between, is the language of AI going to become that? I don't know, Jerry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I think that's what scares the whole world, right? It's not what we know about. Well, I think it's becoming what we know about AI because I think there have been some misuses of it already.
Yeah.
But it's really what we don't know, right? Like what we can envision and imagine. And did you watch Black Mirror? Have you ever seen Black Mirror?
No, I've heard legends and rumors, but I haven't watched it.
Watch it. It's phenomenal, but it's all about that. It's about things that are like good for the world, right? Technological advances that make the world better and go horribly wrong. And there's this suspenseful, even horror element to it at times, but it's like, this is what happens. But what strikes me about the show and so many shows that incorporate AI into them, is that it's kind of scary and mind blowing, and it's really not at all unthinkable in the very, very near future, right? Like all of this could happen. There's nothing that they're talking about that seems out of reach at this point.
Oof. Yeah. Oof. Good point. But you know, it sounds like I'm going to do a segue. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I haven't used that tone enough. I do wonder, you know, to bring this back around, maybe to a possible positive mm-hmm. thing. I wonder if there's, you know, the value created from this. I wonder if there's going to be a priority and value shift. So, for example, right now we will give a premium to handmade things, and sometimes the difference between a handmade whatever and a factory made whatever is not really very noticeable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about. Like when I'm trying to pick up gifts for people when I'm traveling, right. And even I know I'm like, ooh, like this will be received well because it's handmade. It's, you know, this was handmade by artisanal whoever's wherever, and maybe upon first glance it would be indistinguishable from, you know, a trinket or whatever that was mass produced. But we assign some value. We're like, ooh, handmade, that makes it special, and it's probably more about the less about the material. Maybe the materials are the same. Maybe it looks pretty similar, but there's just something about this is special because it was handmade, and that's a rarity now. And I wonder if AI is going to drive that. Like, am I going to be able to, because, you know, I worry as a speaker, I'm like, is my job under threat? They're just going to, could you just AI me? And I don't know. I do wonder though, is it going to be this talk was actually human written, and we'll go, ooh, handmade talk, you say.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe we're going to create new premium items in the same way that higher
value. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so.
I think at least for this next leg of the race, right? Like that's something we can take away from all of this is as we figure out what all of this looks like, let's don't lose human value, right? Like, as we turn the dial up on what technology can do for us, let's don't turn the dial down on the value of humanity and what we have to offer. Because, like, honestly, I feel like this, Chris. If I was hiring you to come in and tell me about TCKs and the experience and the life, like, I could probably, and I don't mean this as an insult, I could probably find the information that you're going to share with me by asking ChatGPT or Google or whatever, right? Like the facts and the figures, the statistics, the what it is, the definitions, all of that. And then I could say, hey, ChatGPT, put that into a funny, humorous style. And obviously it would even give me cues for music and sound effects, right?
We know this to be true.
Yes, right? Like all of that. So I could get maybe the same product or a similar product and 10,000 times more valuable for me and the organization that I work with is having Chris O'Shaughnessy in front of me explain it. And that human lived life experience, that the stories that you tell, like ChatGPT could tell me those stories. I don't care. I want to hear them from you, right? And I want your insight. I want it to be human, right? Even if it's the exact same information, I want that human experience. And then, you know, I want to go out to dinner with you when you come to visit my organization, right? And I want to have fun. And that's where life happens. And that's where the value of what you told me really grows exponentially, right? So mm-hmm. I travel for business at times, and we do a lot online. We do a lot of training online. But the moments that we get to go in and spend 4 to 8 hours with an executive team or a group of leaders are, I like not to overuse the word exponentially, but they are exponentially better, right? Like they're just, yeah. And it's the same information. It could have been done on Zoom, but it's so much better. And then we go out to dinner and there's a connection, and that actually kind of cements the value of the content that we brought. And so there's still so much human value that that could easily get overlooked because we can get it somewhere else digitally mm-hmm. or virtually or whatever from our computers. But the value is in the pieces that surround it in those human connections.
Yeah. Well, it is, we're relational beings. And I think all of that just supports the idea that we really are relational beings. And I think we see ripples of that already with things like social media that
yep.
I think one of the trends that we've seen, and I don't know, have we done an episode about social media? We probably should if we haven't. Look, we've done so many yeah. now.
Who we'll, even ask, knows? We'll ask ChatGPT.
Yeah, I'm sure it knows our back catalog. Mm-hmm. Can we list ChatGPT as one of our listeners? I think we should. We have three Ooh. Listeners now. Three, Jerry.
I don't know. I don't. So I just asked ChatGPT because you said, like you mentioned that relationship piece, and I just want everybody to hear this, right? Like, well, first of all, let me ask you this, Chris, are you my friend?
Yes, and not just because I'm contractually bound to be.
Did you hear that, listeners? Like that's such a heartfelt, and there's emotion there. There's okay. So I asked ChatGPT, "Will you be my friend?" And it says, as an AI language model, I'm here to provide information, answer questions, and assist with various tasks. While I can't form personal friendships or have emotions like a human, I'm always available to chat and help you with any inquiries you may have. Feel free to ask anything you'd like. So the answer is no, I'm not your friend. I'm not going to be your friend, but I'll pretend I'll do some of the things that your friend does. Yeah.
Well, and
I think, prefer you, Chris. I prefer
oh,
you,
thank
Chris.
Goodness. Thank goodness. And I prefer you too, Jerry. I really
thank
do.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're preferred. We're the preferred option.
We are the relationship of choice.
The relationship
when the choice is us or a computer.
Yep. But that's just it. I think, you know, even in social media, I think there's great hunger now for genuineness because mm-hmm. we know how much we can fake, because we know we can craft how we're perceived on social media, and we all know we can do it. So there's that whole, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Eric Erickson's development of psychology. When you learn to lie, you develop full fear. Because if you, when you learn to lie, your brain eventually goes, wait, if I can do this, other people could do this. And then
right.
you're way more afraid because you're like, holy cow, like deception, people could be deceiving me. And I think in some ways, social media did that to us. We all went, wait a minute, if I'm only putting the amazing stuff I do online and it's not actually a reflection of my full life, other people are probably doing the same thing. So maybe their lives aren't as amazing as they're showing. And it's made us hungry for genuineness. And I kind of can't help but think that's going to play into this as well. That you're right. I'm not saying that AI isn't going to advance in ways we can't even comprehend, but I would say I'd be very surprised if it replaces the human element, because that's incredibly, we're just illogical beings that really want genuineness.
Yeah.
And there's an element of that defies all logic, but that's the beauty of being human. We're not always logical. Mm-hmm. I mean, we try.
That's
we
true.
Try. I try
that's
to be true. Logical, Jerry. I really do, but I'm not always. Yeah. I'm not always.
Yeah. And that's maybe the one big flaw of artificial intelligence is that is its lack of flaws, right?
Ooh.
Because that's what makes life happen. That's what makes the world. Like I miss the days. I honestly miss the days where we had to go to a library to get our information, right? And so, and I notice it in conversations. We had, hey, who sang this one song? Oh, and we would just make stuff up, right? And then we would have arguments about it. No, it was this person. No, it was this person. And we would go back and forth until finally later, you know, we were proved right or wrong because nobody was going to get up and go to the library to find out and maybe the answer is not there anyway, right? Yeah. Or how do you get to this place? How do you find directions? And we would get lost and we would, like there was constant, I miss those times because there's great stories around us, right? Like there's great relationship and that's where personality comes out. And now it's like, who sings this song? And if there are any old people in the room and they start to have that argument, the 13-year-old in the room gets out their phone and looks it up and closes the conversation. Mm. And it's like, you know what? Life happens in the mistakes. That's where relationships get good. And that's where we learn to deal with each other. We learn to forgive each other. We learn to extend grace. We learn to laugh at each other because that's the kind of mistakes that Chris would make. Right. and AI doesn't have that capability. And frankly, I don't want to hang out with you, AI, you know, as friends, but
it's listening, Jerry.
But I'll still tap into your information. Yeah. I'm such a hypocrite.
You know, if I can summarize what you just said, because I think it's really good that technology in some ways it's reduced our conversational journey time. And there's so much about it's the journey, you know what I mean? The destination is good, but man, there's great joy in the journey. You know, that's why airlines have first class, because it's not just getting there. It's, you know, sometimes, you know, if you can fly business class somewhere, then, you know, sometimes the journey is, that's the exciting part. I mean, not the way you're going isn't exciting.
We've been saying that for years. Like everyone from Confucius to Aerosmith has said, you know, it's not a destination. It's the journey, right? Yeah. It's all about the journey. So like all of the great wisdom and great philosophers of the past, have said some version of that, and yet we're constantly trying to get to the destination, as if we've arrived. I think from a cross-cultural perspective, especially, like this is something I learned in my own experience, but also that I've tried to communicate is don't think you've arrived, right? Like cross-cultural training is not about preparing you to be perfect. And that you could spend your entire life in any culture, in any country, right? And you'll never understand it in the same ways that the people right around you do, right? Because they've had that experience for their entire lives, including their formative years, right? You can learn things. You can reduce your ignorance. You can grow, you can learn, you can get better, but it never stops. And when you think you've arrived, like you stop asking questions, right? Because why would you ask questions if you think you already know the answer? And when you stop asking questions, you stop moving forward. And I think that's there. Again, we're back to the humanity piece, right? Like we're fallible, we're ignorant. And that's the beauty of us is that we've got more to learn and we want to learn it.
We're just going to enjoy the journey. And you know what? Maybe to round all this out, let's just hope at you know what a great thing AI is, what a phenomenal creation that will save lots of time and be more efficient. But you know, let's not get so efficient that we get rid of the journeys. And you know what? I think very clever people are going to figure out ways to use AI to make that journey better. We all just probably have to remember to balance the fact that actually the journey is the fun part in and of itself, and we don't want to get rid of it all the way. Hurrah for the adventure still to come.
To that, Chris, I have to say, and that's a wrap for today's episode of Diesel and Clooney Unpack the World with Chris O'Shaughnessy and Jerry Jones. We hope you've enjoyed our deep dive into the impact of AI on the future of cross-cultural life and living abroad. From hilarious anecdotes of thought-provoking insights, we've explored how this technological marvel is reshaping our global landscape, As we bid farewell, remember to stay curious, embrace diversity, and keep your sense of adventure alive. Join us next time as we delve into another captivating topic, uncovering the hidden gems of our ever-changing world. Until then, keep exploring, stay informed, and let your imagination run wild. Safe travels, dear listeners. It said, dear listeners. It said, that freaks me out.
It knows, Jerry. It knows. It's gunning. It's gunning for our jobs. It's gunning for our jobs. ChatGPT. It wants to take both of our listeners from us, Jerry. Don't leave us, listeners. Don't leave us,
dear listeners. Wow.
Insist on the real thing. Insist on the journey, dear listeners.
That's all right.
That was a pretty good outro.
That was a really good closer.
Ooh, really good.
All right. Diesel and Clooney. And cat fart. That's the unpack the world. That's the new name of we're rebranding.
There we go. It's gonna be we're gonna list AI as credited as part of the creator. There we go. Diesel, Clooney, cat farts. Out.